Wee-oo, I am gonna kill Joe Biden.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, gonna shoot him with my gun. I got it from Walmart yesterday, and I found his address in Delaware.
We're not, like, recording, are we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my new intro.
I don't think you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Can do it now.
Well, did he actually die or something?
Well, no, it's okay now.
Okay. You know, fucking Secret Service going to kick in our door in the middle of the night.
Nope.
How do you explain to them? Like,
art?
Well, it's just kind of a meme.
This art? Doing art?
This is artwork. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't this kid actually get visited by the Secret Service?
Yep. Sometimes you do that for art.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people have witnessed his creation, so.
I have it saved on my computer because I feel like that's the only way to preserve it.
Well, I, like, explicitly don't endorse.
I should have saved Kanye, so.
No, that is the last thing we need.
It's also not available anymore.
No, yeah. Well, maybe that's for the best. It was only a danger, really, with no conceivable benefit.
Well, but that's why you could save those things, you know?
Just... he was perpetrating terrorism and y'all trying to help him, so.
The American people are tired of women.
That's so true, though.
That's related to our story today.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be known, I actually hold women in high esteem, though the things that I am about to say will not make that clear.
Right.
Don't you worry, don't be sad, it's the audio grab bag.
Oh, I thought we were about to discuss.
We are.
Something that we're actually apparently not about to discuss.
We are. We'll get there.
Sorry, I'm just.
You're good, here we go.
Bookend that.
This is good. You good. Okay, I think this is a podcast back and forth about Epstein stuff.
Oh, okay.
Body know a pedophile in this room right now. If we really turned on a, there's somebody in this room. It's probably three niggas that's fucking children.
Nah, we ain't doing that.
Everybody know a pedophile in this room right now. If we really turned on a, there's somebody in this room. It's probably three niggas that's fucking children.
Nah, we ain't doing that.
Yeah, that, I don't know. Wow, that is signs and wonders, man.
I guess that's one way you could go.
Yeah,
to defend Trump or whatever.
There's a really idiosyncratic pronunciation of pedophile is going to stick with me.
That is what I'm.
Everybody know a pedophile.
Oh, file.
Pedophile.
Yeah. All right, one other thing. This guy's got a bunch of videos that are like this. It's kind of interesting. It's an interesting bit. This one is for Five Below, but he's got one for all sorts of stuff.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantabulous. How you doing?
You know, every time I come in this store, my nervous system starts going haywire. Like my body goes into fight or flight. Why do you think that is?
You know, we got a horde of little girls in the back there who have gone all Lord of the Flies.
Holy smokes, call the National Guard.
We just let them battle it out. We don't tend to get involved.
Yeah, it's probably the best way of going about it. Say, I'm looking for a few items. You mind if I just list them off for you?
Go ahead, honey sugar bum.
Great. I need a pair of sour gummy earrings, an Inuyasha incense holder, a pocket-sized lava lamp, My Little Pony birthday cake exfoliating scrub, a Powerpuff Girls plush footstool, a Hamtaro mouse pad, and a graphic tee with Paris Hilton holding a jack-o'-lantern that says it's giving spooky.
Oh! My little Cinnabon, we have everything you said.
Do you mind if I list a few more items while I'm here?
Okay. All right.
It's a good bit. I like it.
Strange, yeah.
I like it. It's a little unsettling.
It's quite unsettling.
In style.
It's quite unsettling.
All right, that's what I have. Did you want to talk about your trip, or did you want to go into this?
I've just been out of town for a week.
Any more? Any details? Did you want to go over it?
Yeah, sure.
About your girls' trip?
Yeah, I took a girls' trip by myself.
You're a girl.
So. I guess any trip I take is definitionally.
Mm-hmm. Well, girls only, too.
Yeah, this was a girls only girls trip. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to New Orleans for several days.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
This is death penalty work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not witnessing executions. It's reporting on what's going on with Capitol defense teams, people who defend people who are facing the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just a bunch of really cool people. I mean, this has always been my impression. I've been working with Capitol defense attorneys since I started reporting on this stuff, because there's like, you just need the attorneys to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Had a great time with them hanging out. Obviously, the food in New Orleans is great. Great eating.
Mm-hmm. Do they have like McDonald's and Wendy's down there?
Yeah, they definitely have that.
Frosties.
The vibe actually was more fast food in the Oklahoma City leg of the trip, as you can imagine. And it was actually good food in New Orleans.
Did you see Nathan?
No, I'm not sure he would see me.
Sure he would.
No, man, he's got issues with me. Like,
I don't think so. You could have probably slept in the current affairs office if you wanted. Saved a buck or two.
Well, it's not my money.
Still.
They made me want to get tattoos. I'm like, damn, everybody, I'm getting peer pressured here by everybody having cool tattoos.
I'm going to get a sleeve.
Yeah, you know, if that's, you know, go with God, honestly. You can imagine they drink quite a bit, Capitol defense teams. Everybody in Capitol defense is some kind of weirdo, because there's just more lucrative shit you can do with your law degree that's not as grueling and demanding. The thing about being a Capitol defense attorney is shit is rigged in favor of the state, right?
Mm-hmm.
So usually you lose. And unlike in other situations, when you lose, your client gets killed.
Right.
So it's.
But what about the legal work? Is the legal work actually that tough? Is it just kind of a handful of args? You just kind of keep making them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's not like a situation where you get to be particularly inventive. It's just how you work with the facts of your case.
Mm.
And, you know, most of the death penalty legal work happens in post-conviction. Right. At the trial level, there's, you know, not even guaranteed to be working with someone who specializes in capital punishment at that level.
Mm-hmm.
So that litigation, you know, or the trial level is notoriously shitty in
mm-hmm.
terms of assistance. People are routinely not given effective assistance of counsel. But then all the litigation that takes place after that is in post-conviction, and that's all the appeals people have. And when you're at the post-conviction level, you're working kind of only with, it's like in debate, you can't really introduce a new arg.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only complain about ways in which the trial.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was not.
Because of the standards of review.
Right.
Being
and
what
so
they are.
They, you know, kind of have to fight uphill battles, but they do get limited opportunities to include new information that was not presented at trial. You just have to, you know, you can only do that in a few cases. I was working with the people who find that kind of information that's brought in after the trial in the post-conviction phase that was not introduced at trial. They're investigators. They're really interesting. I mean, they are themselves, you know, quite unusual, I think, even more unusual than capital defense attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to be a certain kind of person to do a thing like that.
And where do they get money?
Yeah, well, they're called Capital Post Conviction Projects, or CHUs, Capital Habeas Units.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these have to exist by law, so they're funded by the state.
Okay, so it's a public defense type idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think some of them also work with other streams of income, but all of the ones that I know of are exclusively funded by the state.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty chill.
Yeah, well, I mean, except for the reasons that I enumerated having to do with your clients getting killed all
the time. Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, at least you're not hustling for money all the damn time.
Yeah, and I think for the work that gets done and how grueling it is, they don't make shit.
Sure.
They don't get paid anything. So it's like, why would someone do this? But like, it's a special breed that gets into it. And then it becomes like, you know, your thing. I mean, then you become a death penalty person and you're in this world. And, you know, they joke that the only way out is death.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, these investigators, they have an even more interesting job where they have to like do huge records requests and go interview people. Anyway, we'll get to that. That's what this next feature is going to be about.
Okay, we don't want to spoil it.
Don't want to spoil it?
You have to subscribe to The Atlantic
yep.
magazine. We should probably subscribe at some point.
Yeah.
It's The Atlantic has got a lot of subscribers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've been reading in the media, the media reporting, where they report about the media.
Yeah. That's maybe the apotheosis.
It's a meta reporting.
Yeah.
And they're killing it over there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Everyone else is laying people off, and The Atlantic's just like, not us.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah. I mean, look, yeah, they know what they're doing. I'm lucky.
It's a well-oiled machine over there.
Yep. Yep. Oklahoma City, I was doing the same thing. You know, what's interesting about this trip compared to other reporting I've done on the death penalty is this is like far and away more psychically damaging. Because
of Oklahoma City?
I mean, partially just because I had to be in Oklahoma for like 72 hours, but you know, perhaps more importantly, you know, when you're dealing with witnessing an execution, you know, that's one thing, and it's very time limited. It's over in, you know, a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's never been my job to like dive deep into the police records and try to relitigate whether a conviction was legitimate or something. Like I don't do innocence. Mm-hmm. Stuff. So I've very rarely been, you know, closely considering the details of the offenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I say what they are and I rely on court documents for that, but I'm not going to the police files and looking at pictures and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, in this case, I am. And it's pretty horrifying. And also, murders are horrifying, right? And especially
shouldn't be killing people.
Yeah, and like especially like first degree murders are usually pretty horrifying, but even more kind of like fucked up and horrifying are the lives of people who are convicted of first degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
These people are themselves some of the most broken, tortured, sort of hopeless people alive, right? Who've been through really heinous shit of their own, universally, not only crime committers, but also crime victims.
Mm-hmm.
The absolute frequency, right, with which like intellectual disability or mental illness comes up is crazy. It's like almost in every case. And it's not just because to commit first degree murder, you have to like, you know, necessarily be intellectually disabled or mentally ill, right? Mm-hmm. I believe that a sane, normal, rational person who's lived a perfectly happy life could choose to do a murder in like an evil genius, cold-blooded mastermind way.
Mm-hmm.
I have to submit that that can exist. I'm just saying, like, on the ground, that's not actually what's happening.
Not usually.
And I think that's very interesting, and I guess that's what I'll get into. But yeah, this is way more difficult and psychically damaging than anything I've done before.
Damn.
You're
holding up well, though.
Yeah, no, when I was traveling, I was like, fuck, man. This, like, what am I doing this for? Who is this for? Why am I trying to...
It's for the content, man. Just throw that in that content mill.
I mean, it's the content. Like, I've got to write something, but, like, you know, you're like, this isn't changing anything. It's not helping, right? So it's like, what am I doing? And then also, like, how do I know religiously this is what I'm supposed to be doing? Because historically, Christians were very much in favor of capital punishment. And it's you know, quite recently, in fact, that the Catholic Church, you know, in the form of Pope Francis, came out against it. So I, you know, was having kind of a dark night of the soul, being like, maybe what I'm doing is completely wrong and I'm totally off base. Like, Yeah.
Could be.
You know, it could be, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. You know, I have my moral beliefs, but they're just beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. not like I have access to a, you know, there is truth. Moral truth exists. I'm not saying that I necessarily have it right. But as far as I...
Well, what you want to try to do is access the noumena.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But I think that my soul is receptive.
It's hard, though, because it's so often mediated through the phenomena.
Yeah.
That's great struggle.
That's it, man. It do be like that. And, you know, I'm not really, I didn't exactly like figure it out.
Mm.
I just, you know, yeah, do ask myself what I'm doing. The fuck am I doing with my life? But, you know, I believe there's a high likelihood that I'm right about this.
Yeah, and if not, it's still great content, you know?
Yeah, thank you. You got to just judge it on the literary merits.
Sometimes you just got to throw that content out there.
Yeah, what can you do?
That's all I do. I just put that content out there. And I'm like, you guys interested in socialism? Oh, no, not very many of you. Well, for the ones that are,
yeah,
this is how I would do it.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, that's pretty cool. Here's $5. Keep on putting it out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, I will. And that's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I summarize in other B cases as well. I'm just diversifying the content portfolio a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you never know what's going to come. Things move quickly.
Yeah.
You know, Mamdani is going to be mayor of New York City, you know, so things happen.
Yeah.
Unexpected things happen.
You
just got to chill.
Yep.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I think that was ever in question.
You know. You can't always figure out how A is going to lead to B.
You know what I mean?
So you just do A and you try, you hope it leads to B. And maybe it will, maybe it won't.
I'm just saying I'm trying to do the right thing, but I don't know if I am for sure. But I'm trying.
But what do you mean? Do you mean in a wasted time sense, or do you mean you're not sure if the death penalty is bad?
I mean, you deal with some of the, like, the closer you get to some of these crimes, including the crimes that are perpetrated upon the killers themselves in childhood and shit, you're like, fuck, man. I mean, what? I can't change anything here. And also, maybe I'm making it worse by having to go through these people's lives and kind of re-traumatize them by reporting on. I mean, these people are still alive. They're just on death row. Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-mm. Well,
I don't know.
Keep on working on it.
Yeah, I'll keep
thinking
about it.
See if you can figure it out. All right, so I mean, we don't have a whole lot of detail then, exactly.
Well, what details? We went to restaurants. They were good. I mean, I met a lot of interesting people. I went horseback riding.
There you go. That's a cool detail.
Which I'm always trying to do while I'm on reporting trips.
I won't ride on the horse. So I feel like it's inhumane.
Yeah, you've said that. I think when we first talked about it, you said that it would be weird for the horse, was how you put it.
It would be very strange for the horse. Imagine this other species climbing on you. They must think that's so strange.
No, they long for it.
Well, you know, I don't know. They don't speak, so they just say nay and make a lot of sighing noises.
It can kind of click, oddly enough. But yeah, they love going.
Yeah.
They do that a lot.
But that should tell you that sighing... You know?
Yeah, they find the whole thing tiresome and obnoxious.
Bored and frustrated.
It was fun. I went with a capital defense attorney. Everybody, this was kind of chilling, but obviously I can't drive, so I rely on...
That's why you take the horse.
Well, that's very funny, Matt. But I, when I'm traveling and I'm in the city, I have to use Uber. And these people kept insisting on giving me rides and stuff. They were like, never get in the car with a stranger. I've seen too many cases in this line of work. And they were just like, never use Uber.
Not Ubers, because they have, you can see their history, you know?
Yeah, there have been cases, though, where people like mistakenly think someone is their Uber or whatever.
Not me. I'm real diligent about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be really diligent about it, right? But it's just, you know, that was kind of chilling, yeah. I was not expecting to hear that. I just assumed, like you say, that it's, you know, relatively safe because you have an electronic record of who this person is. And
I think it's pretty safe, yeah. What's the murder rate in Ubers and how does it compare to society more broadly?
IDK. They also said that they, like, isolate their children. So I think it just...
Like in a bubble?
You just, you know, don't let them go hang out with other youths.
Who told you this?
The Capitol defense attorneys, dude.
Fuck, what? That doesn't seem healthy. I think children should have friends.
Yeah, I mean, children should have friends, but I think they're thinking about, like, unsupervised, away from me, the parent, you know, under, you know, minor children doing that seems to be disturbing.
You know, it's important to promote independence.
Yeah.
And self-confidence.
Right,
you
but
know,
I mean,
you can hurt a child by making them unable to cope in the world, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure having someone like you in their lives would just be the most annoying fucking thing imaginable. Like, they're exposed to...
The children? No, I'm a very good adult companion to children.
Do the children think that?
Do our children?
Yeah.
No. But, you know, it's not that they need to think it. It just is true.
It's true. Yeah, they might be wrong.
This of is course, they're wrong. They're fucking children.
This is the theme of tonight's podcast. Yeah. 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 The children definitely, I'm not sure they think that I'm necessarily a great companion either.
Mm. The kids, you know, they just have grievances. When I picked them up from camp today, it's the first time they've done this camp. And they love, you know, that should be a pretty... You know, big thing, you know, because we do this camp, we've already done this one. Okay, here's a brand new one you've never done before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's stuff they like and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, when you just get there, the first thing they do is just dump all their criticisms on you. There's never any like, oh, we got, you know, after the critiques, then they'll talk about fun things.
Yeah.
But it's just the critiques come first.
Yeah, they do love to complain. I have various grievances.
They do. I don't know. Maybe that's all children, but it's kind of an oddball thing to contend with, where you're just like, okay, so what, let's give me your lists of complaints. Oh, I lost my water bottle. Okay, well, that's kind of your fault, isn't it?
Okay.
It's not really the camp's fault. I don't think you should place it on them. Oh, I didn't like the part at the end. There were too many kids around. I couldn't really get a lot of jumping on the trampoline. Okay, all right. Well, you know, sometimes people like it when there are other kids around. You know, like, and on and on and on they go. Though they did. Well, I won't go on this because it's disgusting.
Oh God, but, I don't even want to know.
Yeah, pool related.
Ew,
issues.
No? Oh, my God. But, I don't even want to imagine.
Okay, well, don't imagine then. I just said pool-related issues.
Okay,
could be anything.
That's...
Over-chlorination.
Yeah, I doubt it's on the too hygienic side.
Mm-hmm. Can burn your eyes and skin sometimes. You get going too crazy with that.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
You ever see those pools where, like, this is a natural pool?
Yeah.
And we don't have to chlorinate it. And
yeah.
It's like, that's fucking gross.
Yeah, that's sick, dude.
I'm going to swim in a goddamn... pond, just like this rut of just garbage and animals and algae and stuff.
You feel me though? I'm always saying this, and I'm like, fucking still stagnant water is bad. It's problematic in a lot of cases, and you get fucking flesh-eating or brain-eating amoebas and shit in there.
No, only in Texas.
No, it's totally not true that only happens in Texas, by the way. People should not be getting gross lake water up their nose or whatever. Go swim in the pool with the chlorine.
Some lakes are okay, I think.
Which ones? Like glacier lakes?
Those for sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably okay.
Lakes from meteor impacts. Those are pretty cool. You ever seen those?
No.
Because they don't have any water coming in and out of them. They just kind of sit in little pockets of water.
Yeah, I guess I assume that's how all lakes worked.
No, not all of them.
Okay.
Not all. Anyways, did we want to cover the New York End Times?
Oh, yeah. This is why I said that I'm...
You told me, emergency pod.
No, I did not.
And so we had to do this thing.
Did not.
Am I meant to introduce this now?
Yeah, go ahead.
To me? Okay.
It was your thing.
It was not my thing.
Yeah. It's your thing. No, I have it open in a tab.
Okay.
Let me find it. There's this piece in
It's called
Time.
The Trouble with Wanting Men. Women are so fed up with dating men that the phenomenon even has a name, heterofatalism. So what do we do with our desire? By Jean Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she does seem unduly impressed with the fact that someone invented a new word and applied it to a very broad kind of hazy thing.
What's funny is that she actually, I think, accidentally reveals that this is all kind of silly by being like, this actually was called heteropessimism at one point. But then the person who coined it just decided that instead it should be called heterofatalism. I'm like, okay, so this is just an idea that, like, straight women are upset because men aren't being the way they want them to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has a little more content than that, but it's like, you look, we can't really, you shouldn't get too impressed by new words.
Yeah,
I'm just like, there's a lot of interesting stuff in here, and yeah, we'll get to, but I want to start with that. There are a lot of people who, when a new word is coined, to them, maybe because their word sells or whatever their problem is mentally, that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
When like, whoa, there's even a new word.
It's yeah,
like, well, we can all, you can just create words. You're allowed to
yeah,
do that.
Like, Shakespeare did it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you kind of catches on. This is not even a particularly, you know, it's like Afro-pessimism.
Yeah.
And then she was like, what if I do hetero? And it's like, these are even just kind of mix and match various Latin and Greek kind of
yeah,
things. You know, that's like basic shit.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone, if you catch a gap in the grand corpus of words, you're free to fill it in with whatever you want.
Yeah, but like that's okay. Not... That someone came up with a word does not mean compelling. It's not the same thing as compelling.
Yes, yeah.
Nor is it like, wow, this must be a really interesting, widespread thing because it had to be named.
Yeah.
I've never heard this word.
Yeah.
So if you were like, this word has now flourished because, like, then you could be like, well, it resonated.
Yeah.
And that it has resonance is something.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something.
Yeah.
Some random person came up with it and then no one ever really repeated it except for maybe the few people who read their thing, and I'm first now seeing it for the first time as a man who just consumes content all day.
She's like, in there, she says something about like this, she thinks this started in academia but it's breaching containment or something like that. She like, oh yeah, this is an academic thing, but I swear more and more, of course, one of the strange things about this as an essay is that the main source of information is literally her talking to her friends. Like, hundreds of words are just spent detailing conversations she's had with her friends.
Yeah.
And she's like, see, the straight women have had it. And it reminds me of like Eve Farlow saying the Jews are tired or whatever. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm like, speak for yourself. What are you talking about?
It is par for the course. I mean, this is the problem with cultural commentary in general, is that how do you come up with proof and what sort of information sources make it so that you can make a broad cultural claim? Very hazy,
yeah,
very unclear. And for the most part, we kind of just let people go, I'm in the culture, I'm seeing some things, here are some examples. And we don't really go, yeah, but like that's not really representative, is it?
Yeah.
Because obviously it never is.
Yeah.
But then you can't really necessarily find a representative sample anyway. And for what? Like, mm-hmm, polls are also garbage, mm-hmm, now. Like, they're fucking wrong as hell. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so we just kind of, I guess the idea is it's almost like writing a novel or something, right? Like, you kind of throw it out there. And if it resonates, then that kind of is proof of something.
Yeah.
And so this is like an effort to make something resonate. Mm-hmm. And I guess it didn't really, I don't know, because I'm committing the same mistake she is. I'm saying from the reactions, mm-hmm, it seems like it's at least not being universally accepted as valid. We'll really kind of talk, should we explain what the piece says?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that or should I?
I will. Okay. It's this piece where this woman is like, okay, it's biographical. to a certain degree. She's narrating her problems recently, having good relationships with men. And she's like, men are, she doesn't put it this way, but she's like, men are not man enough. Like, they're not, like, desirous and lusty and willing to chase and so on. And therefore, it's putting me in the unhappy position of being the woman, which is wanting more and needing more, and him just being, like, impassive and stony. And she's like, no, that's not what I want. I don't like being the woman who waits by the phone for a man to call who doesn't call. But she also complains about guys being like, we were going to meet up today, but we can't meet up because I'm having anxiety. I'm anxious. Mm-hmm. Or guys who are really sweet and nice to her, but then, you know, don't call or whatever. I think, you know, it's kind of weird. The more information you get about her in the piece, the more you're like, wait a minute, are you sure that you're not maybe somewhat partially contributing to maybe some of these problems? She's like, I had a husband, I was married to him, we had an open marriage, I violated the boundaries of our open marriage. I'll just read you this part. Jay, she calls him.
My husband and I had an open relationship at the time that Jay. Mm-hmm. Do you wanna?
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
Because my husband.
My husband and I had an open relationship at the time that Jay and I met. So the terms of our involvement were at first limited, and although Jay exerted a pleasant pressure against these limitations, ultimately they suited him. I was the one who violated the terms by finding it intolerable after a while to care that much in that way for one person while being married to another. I could not disambiguate sex from love, nor love from devotion, futurity, family integration, things I wanted with Jay. Even as throughout year and a half or so that we saw each other, he continued to gesture to his incapacity to commit as if it were a separate being, an unfortunate child who followed and relied upon him, maybe, or a physical constraint. I stood there reaching for him while he sad-faced back at me like a boxed mime. He couldn't talk about it. He wished things were different. Maybe someday the child would mature, the glass would break. But for now, there was really nothing to be done. Okay. So again, keep in mind that one of this woman's complaints is that men being unmasculine, again, she doesn't conceive of it that way, which is really unfortunate for her, right? That this kind of escapes her notice. I don't think she's willing to confront in herself that she's looking for like a traditional masculinity because she's busy complaining that it's making her traditionally feminine. Right. She's like, I don't want to be that woman, like sitting by the phone waiting for a man to call. I want to be out there living my life, girl bossing. But at the same time, you are actually just a typical woman. You're like, I was living the badass girl boss lifestyle where I'm unencumbered and free. But actually, I can't really disentangle sex from love. And I fell in love with this guy that I was essentially having an affair with, thinking that eventually something would be reciprocated. But no, he told you right off the bat that wasn't going to happen. And it's very strange to watch her kind of turn over in her mind this problem of, what masculinity means to her and what femininity means to her, because she's of the mind, definitely, that she's like above traditional gender roles. But at the same time, she clearly desires them and is of them in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's part of what makes it fascinating, but yeah. I don't know if she intends it that way.
Yeah.
Like if she's trying to, in writing this, be an interesting subject in and of herself.
Yeah, it's like, well, your pathologies are kind of fascinating, right, I guess, which right. is a weird...
right, in the same way that the yeah. men's pathologies you talk about are, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think she makes a worthwhile point in saying that there is this weird externalizing way that people, and I guess in this case specifically men or whatever, but talk about things that they find a little hard or difficult or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Like where he's saying, I just can't, I wish I could, but I just have an incapacity to commit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she says, I keep encountering and hearing about men who can't. Haven't these men not heard of don't want to?
Yeah.
And then the same with the anxiety. I can't come out today because I have anxiety.
Yeah.
And, you know, a frowny face.
Yeah.
She quotes him as saying, and it's, and, you know, that's interesting. That's an interesting insight that, whether it's because of therapeutic culture or whatever, people, men, these particular men that she's talking about, professional class men, I assume, you know, have come to talk about things that way and maybe even come to behave that way.
Yeah.
It's a little unclear. Maybe they would behave this way no matter what, but this is just the language that they've been given to talk about it.
Yeah.
And, or maybe the language is also affecting the way that they behave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, I think it's reasonable to kind of, you know, I mean, in her riff on this is kind of, I could see why it was such an electric piece in the discourse. But, you know, the discourse on it where, or her kind of take on this, where it's like, look, we all have anxiety. That's part of life. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you're supposed to like push through that or, you know, like, and I thought that was compelling because this is something that I've thought about for a long time is like, well, look, it's not as if there aren't things that I that are hard for me, maybe harder for me than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, especially because the language of disability really gives you this, you know, it really, like on top of the therapeutic language, you also get to be, you get to use ableism language and be like, everyone's supposed to accommodate me. But I've always just kind of resisted that and thought like, you know what, you gotta, however difficult it is, you gotta like try to push through.
Yeah.
And everyone has stuff that's tough and you gotta push through and do your best. And you may fucking fail.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, and maybe people should give you a little bit of leeway when you fail, but you can't just use the fact that it's harder for you than other people, or it may not even be in some of these cases. They may just be having ordinary, like, anxieties or whatever. Just because it's a little tough at times, like, oh, you have to, you know, like, presumptively anything that's tough is something that I don't have to push through and that everyone else has to accommodate.
Right.
And that I should never have to deal with like negative emotion or anything like that, you know?
At least it moves it from the realm of morality into the realm of medicine, where it's like, you can't be mad at me for having cancer, which is basically what anxiety is.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, actually you have obligations to people and so on and so forth.
Or the same with the commitment aspect here, right? Yeah. Instead of saying an incapacity to commit.
Yeah.
If you want to say, hey, it makes me a little bit more nervous maybe than your average person, which you don't even know
because
you don't have any knowledge of how other people feel when they think about like taking a leap into something that's kind of hard to undo.
Mm-hmm.
But let's suppose you did. Okay. You know, but that still doesn't like absolve you from doing it.
Right.
You still got to try. It may not work. Who knows? It might be really tough on you, but like you got to push through. So.
Yep.
That's an interesting insight, I think, that I kind of agree with her on
there
about, you know,
sure,
that development. Of course, it's not exclusive to men. It seems like women do the same thing.
That's what I was thinking darkly to myself is like, but do you feel this way when it a woman having a moment of like, I can't deal with it, my, you know, whatever. And or is it just men are supposed to be able to?
No, I think it's true across the board.
But
no,
for
I mean,
her,
in my, oh, in her, yeah.
I'm just like, my Straussian read here is that.
Oh, you think it's like a masculine.
She's right. Yeah. She's being like, it's unmanly that you're like, I simply can't do it. I'm too
I
anxious.
I see, yeah. No, I don't have a gendered take on that.
And I'm sure she would say she doesn't.
Right.
But like, as a matter of fact, as it unfolds in the piece. She's revealing herself to be a very traditional woman looking for a traditionally masculine man. There's this really gross part where she's having sex with this random guy. She loves having sex with guys who don't like her. And she's like, he's like a nerd or something. But then he's like, I know what you are. You're a bratty sub. I'm like, God, it's like the way I would be instantly kind of nauseous. It's like, great, thanks for letting me know you're really into porn, dude. Gross. Like, not only are you into like, oh yeah, there are doms and subs, you like know categories, and that's disgusting. You can't, like, porn can't be a hobby for you, I feel like. It's not sexy. Sorry. It's,
yeah, I'm sorry. I'm rereading this now.
It gives Reddit.
Yeah, you know.
You know what I mean?
No, like, I know, but yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time with that. I want to try to defend, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just saying, like,
he's taking a stab.
He's like taking a stab, and maybe that's what does it for him. I'm just saying, me being a bitch myself personally, I would be like, great. Well, I'm glad you're like kind of, what, a hobbyist? Like, this is, I don't even know. It would be gross to me.
Yeah, it's like some kind of Sex and the City shit.
Okay, categorize this. What do I mean? Oh, you're an asshole guy.
Yeah, that's okay. That I think is the categorizing thing is a little troubling, because it's a bit dehumanizing.
It's very dehumanizing.
Or de-individualizing. Like, you may want to try not to be like, you fall into one of my 12 categories.
Yeah.
And I'll treat you accordingly.
Yeah. It's like very,
like, you're a person and you're individual, and,
yeah,
and I'll approach you as an individual. And,
yeah. Just, I don't know. That whole scene, I mean, I guess it's hard for me to like get into something that is like, that requires a lot of role playing. Even like as a kid, when I didn't really like playing pretend, because I was like, no, it's not happening. Like, it's hard to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a lack of imagination. But I just, yeah, it's like when I'm supposed to like call you master and shit. Like, dude, I've got podcasts to listen to. Come on.
Now, in the some of the reactions, you know, a lot of it is just kind of, well, you know, it reminded me of the, what was it, like the he's just not into you kind of bit?
Yeah, he's just not that into you.
That was a book or a movie.
It was also
or
a
something.
Movie.
Yeah, and Oprah loved it and shit. I remember that back from when I was a kid, 2000s. There's an element of just that, right? To just kind of be like, lady.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate people go look up pictures of her and do whatever, you know, and it just, that's one possible very quick reaction. Just to be like, I know you're wanting to kind of do a sociological take on the state of men, but because you've personalized it so much, one of the possible counter arguments is this is just something you are experiencing.
Yeah.
And then my theory for why you are experiencing it is some combination of your picture and then what I glean from your personality from having read the thing.
Yeah.
And those things are off-putting. And so maybe that's the issue, is you personally. Now, I think that's, you know, that's, I would never make that move.
But,
you know, you kind of open yourself up to it. It's a little bit, that's a little tough.
It's
a little tough. There's that move. I think another point here is related to the, you know, the numbers game here. I feel like, you know, there's a way to say, well, men are different than they used to be because of, it could be the sexual revolution. It could be the therapeutic revolution.
Yeah.
It could be a number of those things. But I think, as you might expect, about the imbalance of men and women in this, you know, if you think about PMC women and men in New York City, which is a female heavy city, the reverse of like San Francisco, let's say. And just that calculation seems real skewed, right? There's way more kind of, I don't know what you'd say, sort of PMC marriageable type women than there are men. And as you get older and people couple off, it gets even worse. This is a numbers thing that I feel like even the people who pay attention to the gender imbalance sometimes lose track of, right? Like, you can run the numbers. I don't know what they are at the top of my head, but like, you know, of college educated, you know, people between the ages of like 20 and 40 in New York City, you'll find that there's like 20% more women than men or something like that. And, you know, this is kind of how it's reported. But, like, actually, as men and women get coupled off, the ratio gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not always fully grasped because it's never really reported that way.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, just to do, like, some simple math here, if there were 10 women for every 5 men, you would say, oh, that's a 2-to-1 ratio. That's kind of rough.
Yeah.
That's like a 50% chance, you know?
Yeah.
But actually, as people couple off, your chances get worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't move proportionally, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you go from 10 women and 5 men to 9 women and 4 men
mm-hmm.
and 8 women and 3 men
yeah.
and 7 women and 2 men,
mm-hmm.
and then 6 women and 1 man.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that how the math works?
She asked me the wrong person. 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Something like that. So then at the end, you go from having a 2-to-1 ratio to having a 6-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
Even though the population hasn't really changed.
Yeah.
Just because coupling, the way the coupling works, where it takes one man and one woman off the mm-hmm. table. And so as you get, if you imagine this sort of wave of people coupling and marrying or whatever mm-hmm. in the first wave, as you get to the end of that, which I think she's in her late 30s, the ratio is just going to be real, real bad.
Yeah.
Then maybe, you know, with divorcees, maybe it starts to kind of turn over a little bit. I don't really know, but that seems to be a real big issue. And then also there's a selection effect with the surviving men, right? It's
right.
not random which of the, you know, imbalance, which men couple off
yeah.
early on. So there's the ones that are still surviving, not only are there way more women than men at that point, more so than like the aggregate ratio would suggest, but the surviving men are, you know, disproportionately of a certain type. That's how they survive
yeah.
to the end.
Yeah.
There are other reasons for survival, you know, could
yeah.
be they were just too busy or whatever, right? But
mm-hmm.
like one of those reasons for being a survivor till the end is that you do have these kinds of issues. You
yeah.
do treat people like this.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I like to keep it real structural and material and numerical.
You're right. You're obviously right.
But you know, that can't be the only thing, right? For instance, the things that they're saying to her verbally
mm-hmm.
that she's picking up on, which I do, you know, does seem to resonate a bit. That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not purely like a numbers thing. That's a cultural meme of how people have learned to talk about things and whatever. Every PMC person seems to be in therapy for some reason.
They're all in therapy.
Everyone's in therapy.
Therapists are in therapy.
They are. That's real. That's interesting. They are, right?
They
that's
are definitely.
Weird. It's like
are.
A lawyer as a lawyer, but at least in that context, it's like, well, there's some obvious value to not having to go in. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, like there's a difference between. But like, yeah, that's a little.
Yeah, everybody's in therapy.
I guess I don't know enough about it, but yeah, it does seem that's a lot. I think we've talked about it before, but like, I mean, why are so many people in therapy? I just don't get it.
I have friends who believe everyone should be in therapy.
Like, there's other, you can talk to your friends about problems and.
You should see the pushback I get for saying like, well, what have you tried just thinking about it? Maybe
well,
reading?
I would start there.
Yeah,
like, but if you're like, I need some other thing.
And it's like, no, because the theory behind therapy at this point is there are secret parts of you inaccessible to you that can only be brought out by a therapist, and that there are things right in front of you that you can't see that only a therapist can show you. And maybe for some people that is the case, but
Wouldn't friends also, like, if you're basically, I need an external opinion because I need someone who can get beyond my own biases and self-serving, or maybe maybe I'm in the other way and I'm just
yeah.
super critical or whatever. There are other ways to find someone who might externally, you know, run you through.
Yeah.
The pace is there potentially.
Yeah.
Sometimes
people say the therapists have strategies. strategies.
And then you want to think, I could see saying, well, yeah, but the friends also, like, they're not going to, you know, because they have certain incentives.
Yeah.
They're not sitting there and thinking through the incentives, but they have certain incentives.
Yeah.
That just emerge from what it is to try to want to maintain a friendship and things like that. So this is someone who's not. But this person also is like, you're in a financial arrangement with them. And so they have certain incentives as well that may not align with, you know, total straightforwardness and what have you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just don't, you know, I don't want to be, I just wonder. I wonder a little bit about all that.
I have wonders about it. In terms of the guy, though, the guys that this woman is encountering, it reminds me that the friend at one point was working in the Bronx, as the friend does, and saw this person walking down the street with a T-shirt on that said, "Stop giving bum," and then there was a vernacular term for gentleman, pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Truer sentiment. Never been said. This would solve so many world problems, but it did make me think while I was reading this to myself, like, stop giving pussies pussy. Stop rewarding that shit.
Well, you know, everyone, you know, needs love.
But it's like you are encouraging the very behavior that is pissing you off here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what she would say is that she can't really detect. Right? It's like she's kind of saying it's hot and goes cold.
She keeps saying, like, it's always the sweet, nice, funny ones. It's like, and then you get upset that they're like neurotic and shit when it's the like weird shoegaze shtick that's getting you going in the first place.
Shoegaze.
I mean, they're thinking of like Sad Boy.
A style of rock music characterized by sound in which the distinctions between separate instruments and vocals are blurred.
And I love that. That's some of my favorite music, but it does bring to mind a certain type of guy.
Shugazi. Remember we lost our people at Benghazi?
Yeah, I remember that.
I see what you mean. I see. So you think that type is pretty noticeable in advance.
Absolutely.
Okay, so she's picking on a kind of sensitive...
she's like going for these neurotic guys.
But I feel like I'm a nice person.
Yeah, you're sweet. You're not neurotic. Right. Like, you take your obligations but how to other people.
How do
seriously.
I differ from these people at a glance?
At a glance.
At a glance.
Well, for one, you wouldn't say no shit about having anxiety.
Right. But she's saying that's the after the glance portion.
Let me put it this way. She would not like it if she interacted with you because.
Oh my God. Because jeez, that's real harsh. You didn't have to do that.
Because you have such a male style of engagement where, you know, you're not really trying to have conversations about like deep emotions or do like subtle wordplay and other subtle types of communication.
I do all that. What are you talking about?
That actually characterizes the kind of guy she's thinking about. She
you
likes
love my puns.
I do love your puns. I also like that I'm the one who's a crybaby bitch in this relationship who's in my feelings. And your unwillingness to entertain that is extremely welcome, but I have the feeling it would not be to her. You know what I mean? I actually like the traditionally masculine thing of, you know, for example, you told me that you can deal with most emotional problems by not thinking about them.
I mean, that's true.
That's like, this is just a very, like, most people, they're, you know, they're
like
very...
emotions are temporary, so you just gotta run some clock, go to sleep.
Yeah, this is infuriating to people to hear, yeah.
And then you're off doing other stuff now.
Yeah, and it just completely passes you by, because it's not a really meaningful phenomenon for you.
That's it.
Which is cool, and I like that.
No, I feel like when... you were having airport troubles. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you did appreciate my straightforwardness of, well, they put you on another plane. Like, people miss flights all the time.
Yeah, I'm like,
big deal.
The fuck is happening? But, I mean, it also, I mean, what would have been, would it have been better if you were freaking out too? Like, I doubt it. That would have been worse.
I was more sympathetic.
But, like, you know, the level of, like...
I was thinking, being like, you know what? I also flew recently, and I missed, you know, my flights also got pushed back. That's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you could have gone even further with it. But,
I didn't kneel that way. I was like, did you know I didn't even get into Milwaukee till like 3:30 in the morning? I had to get up like 3 hours later.
But see, that too is masculine. That you didn't go into that because you tend towards the typical masculine not saying shit rather than immediately getting caught up in like a rhetorical back and forth. You just very straightforwardly were like, you'll be okay.
Be all right.
That's a typical response to me crashing out.
I had to sleep in Heathrow once.
You did that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a foreign language. I don't even know how to talk to them.
I told my mom that. Had
these sorts of things.
I was like, remember when Matt slept in Heathrow?
What'd she say?
She was like, he missed his flight and they were doing him a favor.
Oh, the fuck's that got to do?
Because I was like, I'm just going to spend the night in the airport. And she was like, no, they'll pay for you a hotel. And I said something like, Matt spent the night in an airport.
Oh, okay.
So then she was like, no, that was his fault.
Oh, she was trying to distinguish.
Yeah.
I told you the same thing, that if you talk to them, they'd probably tell you how to get lodging and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I talked to them, all right, and I got on a plane.
Well, you could do that as well.
So I'm glad that that went the way it did. But yeah, I think you are mistaking what is like an inherent justness in you, that you're a very fair and just person, for like a passivity. And you're not that.
I'm going to I don't know what I'm going to do. I need to prove that this person will I don't know how to proceed here, but
what? You gotta get in touch and see if she likes chatting with you.
Yeah. I need to be like, okay, I need to see, I come off as someone who's fun to talk to or not? Or whatever it is that you're picking up on.
I don't think she's looking. I think she's looking for a very feminine interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that at first, that's attractive because they're like passive and sweet and self-deprecating and so on and so forth. But then like she doesn't like it when you get further down the line and then they're like kind of effeminate and therapized. And it's like, well, you're rewarding them for this.
I see.
Right? I mean, like, don't fucking reward it.
Maybe she'll like one of my topics, like the welfare state.
Oh, yeah. One of my friends asked for your take on the welfare state.
Oh, people love that.
Yeah. What they did you love... think about it?
What was it?
It was like... a new study shows giving families money doesn't mean anything.
One of many. It's an interesting study. I mean, what does it mean? What if people had zero income?
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of kind of an odd claim.
The American Enterprise Institute said in the New York Times article, it proves that money alone does not help children develop.
Well, this is money alone, but like, I mean, so what if you take your income and we bring it to zero? Are you saying that's not going to have a negative impact? I think it, because then the child dies. For one, that's not good for development, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, on some level, this is sort of silly. Mm-hmm. If you want to say that at our current margin,
mm-hmm.
Extra money, you know, only has a small impact or whatever, that's possible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If that would be the route to go, but it'd be like money has no impact.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of crazy. This is a crazy claim.
Okay, here. Like, let's take a break.
Oh.
Because you seemed offended that I suggested that you wouldn't, this chick wouldn't vibe with you.
I thought it was funny.
Here's her describing it.
Okay.
I haven't been dating long, but long enough to discover that I have a type. He's gentle, goofy, self-deprecating, mm-hmm. rather deferential, a passionate humanist, a sweet guy, a good guy. He tends to mm-hmm. signal in various ways his exemption from the tainted category of men,
mm-hmm.
and is perfectly understandable he would wish to do so. It must be mildly embarrassing to be a straight man, and it is incumbent upon each of them to mitigate this embarrassment in a way that feels authentic to him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons my marriage ended was that I fell in love with another man, who I'll refer to by his first initial J,
mm-hmm.
spontaneously graceful, people with a soft voice and an inordinate sad-eyed smile. Jay made me laugh, stopping my breath. Being a, quote, good guy, he intimated from the jump that he did not know how to, quote, do relationships, giving me to understand that if I expected one with him, or as he may have conceptualized it from him, I did so at my peril, which was his peril too, since he would hate to hurt me. There you go. And so I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you're a very, very smart person, but you don't come off as like deferential. You treat people like peers. There is no sort of performative gentleness and self-deprecating.
Yeah. Kind of soft voice and sad-eyed smile.
You see, you feel me? It's and like, then he goes, that's just talking about Tatiana.
And then he goes, I don't know how to do relationships.
Yeah. I'm small.
This is some small bean shit. Like, that's fucking weird. Yeah.
You know, I
you
mean,
know what Patty would say.
What? I mean, one of many things.
Picker is broken.
Oh, her picker is broken.
Her picker is broken.
Her picker is broken. You're like, I can't help but fuck pussies, but then it turns out that they're big pussies and I hate it. It's like, dude, you need to get your head straight, right? Figure it out. And then these sad boy guys are the ones
it's
being
sad
like,
boy. That's what it is. I kept thinking, what the fuck's a word here? It's sad boy.
It's sad boy Obama PJ kid. Remember that?
Yeah. I don't know if he was sad, but
it's that vibe.
Yeah, it's a little bit different than that.
It's somewhat different.
That guy's like church camp kind of guy.
So?
Yeah, the guy in the Obama ad, you know, he's wearing his. But I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? And you're not one of those guys.
I do signal my exemption from the tainted category of men by posting about trolls sports, but only in a trollish, insincere way.
Yeah, you distinguish yourself from the tainted category of men by wearing Kirkland t-shirts and basketball shorts and not saying a goddamn thing. I mean, I don't know.
I say more than you think. I have a podcast. Men never podcast.
It's like all men are required to podcast.
We do all podcast. But I podcast with a woman, and I have to listen to her speak in my headphones for a whole hour.
Oh, gosh. You have to listen to me speak all the time.
Unbelievable. Yeah, but not in the headphones.
It's hard.
It's a little bit
headphones.
Different. I can kind of block it out more.
Yeah, when you have your headphones in, it's probably much easier to deal with the fact that I'm chattering at you.
Yeah. I can just do the little pass through, mm-hmm. but then still have my primary entertainment.
Yeah, I wonder how this woman would feel about her man entering and leaving a room with earbuds in, never making eye contact or acknowledging that she was there in any way.
Sometimes I'm busy.
I'm fine with it.
I don't care.
She'd
be like, he's a busy bee. That's what she would say.
He's off in his own world, you know. I don't know. I'm not trying to get in the way of that for you. I'm just saying she seems looking for like a much more connected and like...
A passionate humanist.
Yeah,
what the
God,
fuck
that
does
sounds
What does that
wrong.
Even
it's
mean?
It's like Richard Dawkins.
she wants someone to tell her about how God's not real.
She's like, you can't just passively be an atheist. You have to be fucking real serious about it, like Christopher Hitchens.
Humanism is a love affair with a progressive vision of civilization where each of us can add to our growing library of wisdom.
Oh, you like someone who wants to learn things?
Yeah. Okay, I get it now. You're right.
Thank you. You feel me? You see the source of her problem.
I see it. I don't know why.
There's nothing that can be done for it.
There's nothing that can be done. It's a thing.
Because when the picker's broken, it's broken. Only Patty can fix.
Patty would have her. Yeah, Patty would make her date someone who plays rec league softball. Just to kind of get her reach oriented and shuffled up.
But
you know?
I just want to put these two things from the essay together in your head. Sad boy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But also being like, you're a bratty sub. You see what I'm saying? How nauseous that made me?
Yeah, those two don't go together.
Like, oh God, you're like not a badass guy at all. You're like kind of a weenie, but you're doing the I'm a dom now. It's, come on, man. Let's not kid ourselves. The reason I like you is that you're a pussy. So I don't know who she's lying to more, herself or these guys. But
yeah, I kind of blipped over that part, to be honest with you. But that does kind of reorient my interpretation of the essay quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're here.
Stop.
To tell me about how the woman thinks.
Stop giving bum fellas pussy.
That's what Stop. She likes, though.
Stop. It's only hurting you and
She wants a sad boy who isn't also neurotic and has anxiety and whatever.
Right. She wants a sad boy who's like a real type A alpha go-getter. And it's like, you're looking at different guys, dude. These are just fully different guys. And the very thing
That's
that
tough,
is driving
though.
You nuts is what you're selecting for. I'm just saying, it's just sad.
Is it possible to be both, though?
Like, to be a sad boy who's, like, real aggressive?
And, or whatever it is. Are there sad boys who also can do whatever she wants here?
I'm pretty allergic to sad boys as a type, I gotta tell you, because it's my job to be depressed and a lunatic and neurotic and all that shit. Really, 90% of the emotions are mine.
Don't they seem kind of more deep?
No.
And kind of you can have a deeper connection because they also struggle with their emotions.
No,
and
no.
And, you know, they're real in that sense.
No, I will be doing all the struggling. And I just like, yeah. I look, you're very high spirited. I like that a lot. If it were just another depressive, neurotic weirdo, I don't know what would happen. It'd be like being married to Elliot Smith or something.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
That seems rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
There's the other one. Remember the men, where have you gone? Please come back.
Oh, yeah. What was that about? Where did they go? Did we ever figure that out?
Rachel Drucker. Remember that guy said, Drucken.
Drucken. Yeah,
that was funny.
Asshole.
I laughed so much. I was like, say it again. I'm going to take a video.
Yeah, German dick. Jane has started calling Claire a dick, but she just thinks it means being weird. And so I keep being like, Jane, that is not being a dick. That is not being a dickhead. That's being a freak. You're going to sound insane if you go out in the world calling people a dick just because they're being goofy or whatever.
The where have you gone? She's like, there are no men in public anymore.
Okay. All right.
So she talks about how she went out to, some dinner and there were 5 tables on the patio.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there with a man. I don't know if just as Troy and I don't know, boyfriend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The other tables were just women,
mm-hmm.
like 4. So she's saying this is kind of like an epidemic, kind of thing. Like she goes out at restaurants and stuff, and there's just no men. It's like all, and then women are just kind of hanging out, you know, as friends, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's just the situation.
That's strange. I've not noticed that.
And, you know.
I swear. I mean, I'm just thinking back to, like, being in Oklahoma. There's men all over the fucking place. What are you talking
about?
About
New York City. I mean, this is where I begin to be like, well, this is a kind of a numbers thing, right? Like,
tons of men in New Orleans, man.
I'm telling you, New York City is even among PMC cities, is a very female-heavy city.
New York City.
Let's see. You've retreated, not into malice, but into something softer and harder all at once. Avoidance, exhaustion, disrepair. Maybe no one taught you how to stay. Maybe you tried once and it hurt. Maybe the world told you your role was to provide, to perform, to protect, and never to feel. But here's what's real. We never needed you to be perfect. We needed you to be with us, not above, not muted, not masked, just with.
Okay.
And you can still come back, not by becoming someone else, but by remembering what connection feels like when it's honest and slow, when it's earned and messy and sacred. We're still here. This is why I don't go out.
Remember when Patty said Hello Kitty doesn't get a hard cock? It's like, you're saying,
at least not the ones
you're not
want.
Going to attract the men you want.
We're still here, those of us who are willing to co-create something true. We're not impossible to please. We're not asking for performances. We're asking for presence, for courage, for breath and eye contact, the ability to say, I'm here. I don't know how to do this perfectly, but I want to try.
Oh, God.
Come back, not with flowers or fireworks, but with willingness, with your whole beautiful and perfect heart. We're still here and we haven't stopped hoping. As for me, I'll keep showing up, not because I'm waiting, because I know what it feels like when someone finally arrives. Oh no, this is Rachel Drucker is an intellectual property professional in Chicago. What is an IP professional? Isn't that a lawyer?
And don't you just see the like the beauty of like a divinely simple man who's just like, I sure love my work and my family, and there's, you know, not a whole lot of weird, complicated shit going on. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and her theory of like why they're absent is just kind of odd.
She's like, they simply can't handle it.
No, it's just sort of like we need to tell them, you don't have to be perfect. It's okay.
Yeah, they've gone away out of shame.
You can come out here with your sad. It is, you know, imagining men that are kind of different from men that I'm
familiar
with.
Yeah, she's imagining sad boys being like, my heart simply can't take another disappointment. No one taught me to stay.
No one taught me to stay.
I simply don't know how. When I'm in a place I must be exiting.
I'm 54. I've been dating since the mid-80s. Been married, been a mother, gotten divorced, had many relationships long and short. I remember when part of heterosexual male culture involved showing up with a woman to signal something. Status, success, desirability. Women were once signifiers of values, objects. Even to other men, it wasn't always healthy, but it meant that men had to show up and put in some effort. That dynamic has quietly collapsed. We've moved into an era where men no longer seek women to impress other men or to connect across difference. They perform elsewhere, alone. They filtered us out.
It just seems like a you problem.
I'm not totally sure. I mean, I've seen some of this stuff on TikTok as well, where they're just like, man, they're just, you know, even when we're trying to organize like a speed dating thing, like mm-hmm. like 80 women sign up and like 5 men sign up or something.
Yeah.
And they're just like, where are they? And it's like, I don't know, just playing video games, I guess. But, you know.
I don't know. This seems to be limited to a particular class of person and a particular location.
Yeah. We've created a culture of hesitation, of men circling intimacy but never entering it. And the result is thousands of tiny solos, everyone performing closeness, but no one making a move that binds. Isolation, loneliness, a hunger for contact that has nowhere to land. It's not about blaming men. It's about noticing the imbalance, about grieving what's not meeting us, and about refusing to dress it up as a personal failure when it's actually a collective reality, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean,
it's very poetic, I guess. I don't know this is kind of a poetic piece, but
yeah.
You know, it is what it is, I guess. The ladies, they want the mans.
Yeah, you know.
And they can't find them, and they're frustrated.
She has this horrible line in the New York Times Magazine piece where she's like, let me find it. This was kind of where I lost it. Privately, jokes aside, I am quite susceptible to penis. Like, I worry that in some Hobbesian state of nature, I might just automatically kneel to the prettiest one.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck, lady?
Do you know what she means?
The prettiest one?
Well,
that's what you're like, sad boys with pretty penises, and you're not happy. I fucking can't imagine why.
Oh, I see. Pretty is, yeah, it's a feminine term.
Yeah. Is that like, do they strike you as pretty, ma'am? Like, that's kind of not the word that I would use.
I have no idea.
I mean, know as much as anyone. Would you call him pretty?
Well, I don't, you know, because I'm not, you know.
You have eyes?
Not gay.
But I mean, surely you can find something pretty, like a flower or a stone or whatever. Like,
well, I think that is a specifically sexual thing. But you know, surely some look better than others. That's got to be the case. I don't know.
She must have some.
The proper term is pretty or not.
I would love to hear her seminar on how to determine dick beauty, and specifically, what is it that distinguishes like dick prettiness from like dick desirability, right? Is it like color? Is it shape? What's going
on? Are those not the same thing?
Color and shape?
Pretty desirable in this context.
No. But like, for instance, like, whatever. Money is desirable, but it's not pretty.
Okay. That's interesting, yes.
Like, this makes me feel desire, and I have desire for it, is distinct from, aesthetically, this is a very pretty, pleasing thing to look at.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Yeah.
You feel me? And I'm.
I guess. Yeah.
So I need to know what
other aspects of desire.
I just need to know what it means. Like, I need the prettiness of the dick specified.
There was also a. Let me actually find it. I think I can find it. This is in the same theme. I guess we're just, stumbling our way into a theme here. But this kind of went viral, I guess. Periodically there's a like, why don't men approach women anymore kind of thing. And then all the bitter men get on there and are like, because you told us not to and that we were doing violence on you. And
that's pussy shit too, gotta say.
Let me see if I can find it. Here it is.
Why? Every day I go out with being adorable. Tell me why. Every day I go out with being adorable. Tits bouncing, skin glistening. And yet nobody ever hits on me or approaches me. Ever. Oh my God. Like, please. I'll take a fucking construction worker catcall at this point. Please. Tell me why.
I mean, I feel like it's just got to be a you problem. I don't know. Where are you going?
Well, I mean, just, you know, on.
Has she tried.
From a pictorial perspective, she, you know, it's hard. You know, she's not an ugly person.
No, but like, have you tried the club or are you just like going to Starbucks? Like, are you in a location where people expect to be?
Well, she's walking like virus. It's like, well, yeah, you're out in the woods.
No one's going to come out in Central Park and be like, you know, take it off. I mean, what do you want to hear?
That would be weird. Yeah.
One thing.
Well, that is the question. Are there places where that's an expected thing still? Like, I mean, is it the case that in a bar, everyone is understanding that it's okay to, you know, go approach a stranger still, or I don't know. I don't know the rules. I'm not in the game, and I really have never been in the game at any point in my life.
I was at this bar with Emmett, and I was walking up to get a drink, and there was this like very pretty lady with like blonde hair and pretty gold jewelry on, and like great nails, and this guy came up and was like, can I get you something? And like, he was clearly anxious as fuck.
Okay.
And she was like, I'm waiting for my friend. And then he was trying to continue it and she was trying to blow him off.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't handle it. I had to walk away. I just observing it was painful. But, you know, good on him for giving it a shot. It does happen.
Well, so, but, right, but did she...
He at least thought this was a zone where you're supposed to be.
He thought, did she think it?
Yeah.
And I guess we don't know, right? Because part of this is also the ability to say no.
Yeah.
But in her mind, was she just kind of like, yep, we're here. People hit on you. That's okay. Some of them yes, some of them no. Or yeah. It's just part of the, you know, par for the course. That's how it goes. Or is she like, I can't believe this guy's hitting on me. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. But like in general, what's the impression?
I feel like at the club, it's like kind of supposed to meet people to have a good time.
But what's the line here? So, I mean, the club, maybe. I don't, but like there's the bars, you know, I don't. There are gradations here of establishments, of drinks and restaurants and such. And where is the line? Like on Thursday, I hung out with some people at, every place is a brewery now. I don't know how this is possible. I don't know what the licensing situation is, how you can have a brewery in a tiny fucking storefront or something. Does it just mean like you have a fucking like, you know, like one of those home brewing kits that you can like run in a sink or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I was just like on a back patio, you know, like it was open, you know what I mean? And I mean, I was fully just with the people I was hanging out with, you know what I mean? So I wasn't really looking around, but like in that setting, are you meant to, could you go to some other table and be like, hey, you know, what's up? What's up? I saw you from over there.
I liked thought your
you
energy.
Looked, thought you looked pretty.
Yeah.
What do you, you know?
Yeah.
You
no,
want to have a conversation?
I think you just got to use the apps because people know you're, so you post your pic on
you.
Your app.
No, I got you. But like in what she's complaining about in that setting, is that a bar? Is that the club? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's what it seems like. That's where people are at to some extent. And that's not really, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would have certainly been a little shocked if someone had come to the table. You know, I mean, if a man, there were women in the party, if you will. I would have just been like, oh, I didn't expect that. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Not that I'm out and about too often, but like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what the expectations are.
No, I guess I'm not. I just assumed everyone hooked up on the apps nowadays, but.
Right. But we need to say to her is be like, what? Yeah, we don't do this anymore. that's the deal. Would get a lot of swipes if you got up on one of the apps.
I mean, yeah, like.
But so then we're just done with the.
Is she like trying to find a relationship this way, or does she just want it to happen to feel desirable? Attention.
That's a good question. I don't know.
It's like, if you're looking for like a relationship, waiting for a guy to walk up to you on the street because your tits are bouncing is probably not the number one way you're going to find that.
Well, what's the initial contact? Where is it supposed to come from? I mean, if not the apps?
Mutual friends.
Oh, that's right.
Introductions, you're right. Organic social outings. Right.
I see. Yeah. She needs to join a run club.
Something like that. Or like go to parties that her friends are throwing and meet their friends.
That's true.
Their friends' friends.
Like, I hadn't thought about that.
It's not, you know, I think most
social circles.
That's how humans associate. Yeah.
I see.
In small groups.
I see. I don't really ever make it past the first node.
Yeah.
It's never like, oh, and here's some other friend. It's just the one. Just the one. I know you've got others. I don't need to really, but you know, you're interesting. I'll talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, it's not like a concentric circle thing that keeps, yeah.
So maybe that's where I'm missing. That's the missing puzzle piece.
Yeah.
In my model of how this is supposed to work outside of the apps.
Yeah.
But I guess if you were single or something, it would be a little more, maybe, or people attuned to it. Maybe it's the difference between female social circles and male social circles. Do men ever be like, oh, my buddy's single. Do I know someone? Is that a thing? I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm really out of touch.
Yeah, same. She looks great, though.
Right. Well, you know, for a number of reasons, come up, but especially like walking.
I'm sure she's like 22.
Remember the person
old
in the? Oh, I told you the story when I was hiking the in the Catskills, and then it was just, you know, you're just way the fuck out there, like 15 miles from anywhere, and I don't see anyone all day, and then all of a sudden this woman is just walking, you know, the other way on the path.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like. She was like, I forget, she asked some kind of question, like just kind of conversationally.
Yeah, please don't kill me type thing.
Yeah. She's like, oh, what's it like? And I was like, it's foggy. And we just kept going.
Yeah, good.
That was it. Was I meant to approach her? Is that the proper moment to, as she says, approach this person?
Oh, if I like ran into a big, strong, silent male out in the fucking wilderness, I would totally be like trying to ingratiate myself, being like, this guy's gonna fucking murder me. Like, you need to be,
but
like,
I had all my hiking shit on. Pretty clear I'm out here, like, I'm doing the deal. You know, I got my poles. That's not intimidating. I got my two trekking poles.
That's
pretty legit. Still, you know, he's serious about hiking.
I would just establish contact and be like, hi, I'm human. There are people who will miss me.
I know. I'm joking. Yes, but like in hers, where she's at in the video, it would also seem a little bit weird because she's just walking kind of on her own in some kind of slightly wooded path.
Yeah.
So if not there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just seems rough out there. It seems like people are struggling. The ladies
people
are struggling.
Are struggling.
They're writing pieces in the New York Times and doing TikToks about their bouncing bosoms.
Yeah, I have no tips or pointers for anyone involved in this, except for the stop giving people who you are unhappy with pussy.
And I don't.
Don't do that.
I don't do that at all.
Perverse incentives, rewarding bad behavior. Don't do it.
Well, yeah, like I said, but I don't think that's good advice for that one, because that's who she's attracted to.
She just needs Patty.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, we're about an hour 26, so
damn,
it's longer than I thought we'd go.
All right. Talk soon.
Adios.
Bye.